find your inspiration, the guy that's out there killing it at a level that you're just like, that's godly, that's godlike. Sure. But then bring that back to earth and find that next peg on the ladder, that somebody that can help you, you know, actually more directly.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Marcin Drozd is the managing partner of M1 Real Capital, where he and his team focus on acquiring value-add multifamily properties throughout the Southeast. Marcin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. That's quite an introduction. I appreciate it. I'm all excited now. I love it.
Great, man. I'm looking forward to it. There's three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Sure. I started out reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, probably like millions of other people. I thought it was a good idea. I thought I could figure it out. Started buying houses while I was in college. Got recruited into private equity on the real estate side. Probably brought me in a little young, but I'm glad they did. Got to immediately go from, you know, looking at single family homes to multifamily, land assemblies, commercial, recreation, just all kinds of stuff. So seeing that for a couple of years was tremendous. A couple of years after that, broke out on my own, started putting together my own LPs, trusts, structures, and fast forward to today, we focus on value add. Today, primarily in the South and Southeast.
Mm. What a great way to get your early education in real estate.
Drinking from a fire hose, literally.
I'm sure it was, but it didn't take you long. I mean, a couple of years is not a long time really to spend under somebody else's tutelage and then just go out and do it on your own. What were some of the things that finally pushed you over the edge and said, hey, I can repeat this?
Well, you know what it was? The firm that I worked for was family owned, good people, well-intentioned, but I knew that I would never be anything more than just a well-paid piece of the puzzle here, a cog in the machine. Right. And, you know, being young enough, maybe naive enough in my mid-20s at that point, I was like, you know what, I can do this. So, you know, I went out on my own, very quickly realized the things that I didn't know as I left that space, because everything was kind of in and around what you do. There's a ton of things that happen for you that I didn't really understand at that point. And then, you know, a couple million dollars later of my own money, a bunch of mistakes later, I finally realized, maybe I'm not as, you know, well-versed in it, you know, as I initially thought. But again, you know, you take your bumps along the way, you know, 37 now. So, you know, a lot of experience, a few gray hairs, and all things considered, I'm glad I did it when I did.
What were some of the things just, you know, top of your mind that you say, man, those were some of the early mistakes I made that somebody else could be spared from?
You know, the biggest thing is you got to recognize if you're better. There's three types of people. There's finders, there's minders, and there's grinders. So that's probably the best way I'm able to articulate it. And, you know, finder is typically the front of the business, whether it's the deal side, the money side, it's the person that goes out and makes things happen. The minders are the operations, the ongoing maintenance, the making sure the buses run on time, so to speak, and everything happens the way it's supposed to. And then the grinders are the people that are typically just happy with the 9 to 5 or 9 to 9 or whatever it is. And they have a very specific role within an organization and they're happy just to grind it out. They don't want to have to go outside of their parameters. So for me, I thought everybody thought like me when I left the PE space. And I very quickly realized that was not the case.
Which of those three do you put yourself in?
Well, when you start a business, you're all three, my friend, as you very well know. Sure. I'm definitely a finder. I love to find opportunity, find talent, find the right people around me and execute on a vision. But you definitely need to be aware of the fact that you need the minders and you need the grinders to actually execute things. And that was probably for me, that was my biggest lesson in my 20s.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You're absolutely right. And I'm just a slow learner altogether. And so this is something that I've been actually researching quite a bit because you're right. I've made the same assumption many over the years. Like, yeah, everybody thinks like me. Like, no, it goes back to the whole like visionary integrator. And then there's just like you're saying. So like I would put the visionary as the finder, the integrator as the minder, and then kind of the employee person that just wants to be an employee as the grinder. And for me, the idea of being just an employee, but being an employee and just kind of being happy with, you know, the way that things go, like, I don't understand that. And so because I can't relate to that myself, like, I assume everyone's me that just wants to go, you know, go nuts and go find stuff and take deals.
Yeah.
That's just not the case. One of the things you're known for is the system you call the easy system. to raise capital for real estate deals. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. EASY stands for exclusive, abundant, scarce, and your allocation. So essentially, the EASY system is part of a much larger process of how to find, nurture, maintain contacts, and eventually get the commitment in a way where you don't, you know, you don't come across pushy, you don't come across salesy. It's very consultative, very process driven. And ultimately, as you very well know, just because somebody isn't a fit for a deal today doesn't mean that they won't be a fit in 3 months or 3 years for that matter. So how you approach that situation, how you maintain that rapport with that person is, I mean, it's everything. It really is, you know, everything. I'm at it 16 years now, and you end up getting a compounding benefit for all the work you do early on. And if you do it in, you know, if you always approach things from I'm here for a long time, not just a good time perspective, then you'll have that flow. So the E, the exclusive, is your deal. So in other words, so many people, when they tie up a deal, they totally undersell it when they're explaining it to somebody else, or they focus on the wrong things that most people don't understand. So I can't tell you how many of our students or some of my partners are like, yeah, the going in cap rate is X and we're going to come out at Y and the replacement cost is Z and here's why that matters. And I'm just like, dude, honestly, I understand, but the business owner that's trying to give you 250 grand is just going to stare at you and go, oh, okay. And a confused mind doesn't buy, right? So exclusive is, you know, break it down to a level of what would have got you excited about the opportunity if you didn't understand real estate. For example, is it on Main and Main? Is it one of the last remaining buildings before the codes changed? Is it of a certain size, a certain stature? Is there a certain finish within the units? Are there certain opportunities for you to do things to add value that is unique in your market, in your city, in your state, whatever it is? Like, focus on the things that the everyday person can understand. Like, if you tell me, hey, the rents in this area are $800, and if we just put new counters down, the guy down the street's renting for $1,200, I can understand that. You can tell me that the cap rate is going to go from X to Y, but I'm just going to stare at you and go, oh, okay. So that's exclusive. Abundant is make sure you have a ton of people to talk to. So in other words, just because you don't have a deal doesn't mean you shouldn't be talking to investors about past deals, things you're looking at. Because when you do have that deal and you can call somebody and say, listen, you know, I have this deal, it's exclusive because of this reasons. I have X amount of people that I need to talk to, but I know you told me you want to hear about this. So here we are. And then S for scarcity is, so we're only looking for $2 million. Our average investment is, you know, let's just say 150,000. So we're probably only looking for another eight or so investors in the opportunity. And then the why. So scarcity, you got to create, you know, if you're doing a great deal and it's exclusive and you've got tons of people to talk to, there's natural scarcity, both within the amount of allocation somebody can take and the amount of room you have for people because of the size of the deal. So then, you know, you'll obviously have a conversation back and forth with that person. And when you think it's appropriate, you can say, look, I know you still got to do your due diligence. I got to send you the package. You got to review everything. But if everything does check out, what amount would you potentially consider investing? Like, ask for some kind of a soft. So again, I'm oversimplifying all this, Sam, but all of this breaks down to a process that has helped me secure well into nine figures in capital. And whether you're raising $50,000, $500,000, or a commitment for $5 million, it really is the same process.
I love that. And it's not playing mind games. I don't want to use that word, but it is a process. And it's getting used to even some of your phrasing there, I think, is really unique. Just, you know, where it's like, hey, you know what? We're only asking for $2.5 million. That's all the raise is. Average investment, what'd you say? 150 grand is your example.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is for you, right. If it's 25, it's 25. It's 50, it's 50. It's 250, whatever it makes it real for you. By the way, never lie, never BS. Always use real numbers. Don't say things that aren't consistent because it's a small sandbox, as you and I both know, Sam. And you know, if you start making up stories, it's not going to work.
What was the why in the easy?
The why, I'll tell you why I created too, but the why is your allocation. So in other words, it's asking for some kind of a call to action. So in other words, when you're talking to somebody, you can say, look, I know you got to look through the package, your lawyer, your accountant, whatever it is, but if everything does check out, what amount would you potentially be considering?
Right.
And that's, you know, it's a soft commit. I mean, in PE, it's a soft commit. So in other words, you know, because you got to give them the opportunity to do their due diligence, obviously. Sure. And make sure they're qualified and make sure they can, you know, comply with the rules with your lawyers and everything else and make sure everything's done clean. But if it all did check out, what amount would they be considering? Because if someone isn't considering it, they would tell you they're, you know, but if they're already telling you, yeah, look, if it all checks out, I'd probably do 100, 200, then that's a good indicator of at least somebody who's semi-serious.
Right. I really like that. I mean, that breaks it down into a very easy to understand step-by-step process.
Yeah.
People who are out there raising capital. It sounds like maybe this was developed for you just because you needed something that was repeatable.
So when I left PE, again, I started thinking that I could do things my own way. There were various forms that encouraged us to incorporate what I've now coined as the easy system. But I had a property, I had three properties that I was closing in a month, and this was smaller properties. I remember my investor in the last week or so decided to pull out. And it was like, you ever see a movie, Jerry Maguire, where Buddy gets fired in the restaurant and he just doesn't know what to do next?
Right.
That was my Jerry Maguire moment. So, you know, I sweated it out. I figured it out. But after that, I swore, and we closed on the properties. But after that, I swore to myself, I would never put myself in a position like that again. And out of sheer necessity, created this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Tell me some other lessons, you know, that you would say that you've incorporated. I mean, raising nine figures is no small amount of money. Is there anything else that comes to top of mind? You said, hey, here's some other things I've learned along the way.
Yeah, I think the best way to sum it up is dig your well before you get thirsty. And I forget where I heard that. I didn't coin that. I read that in a book somewhere. And the authors, the origins of that escaped me. So for that, I apologize. But that saying to me has always resonated true on the fundraising sides. So many people wait till they have a deal in hand before they start talking to people. My whole thing is bring people along for your journey, because you don't know if it's going to take someone 3 days, 3 months, or even 3 years to finally decide to engage with you. So if you can share your journey, and I mean, you do it well, other people, you know, some people attempt to do it well, you know, you add value, do, you know, video walkthroughs. I mean, just the last property we were buying, as we were doing some of the renos, I literally just FaceTimed with some of the investors, some of the buddies of mine, as guys were working on site. I was just walking through the site with a hard hat on and just like, hey, so here are the new units. Here's this, here's this. Buddy's not available. That's fine. Crank out a 2-3 minute video. I understand it's not very professional because they get the professional newsletters and the quarterly updates and things like this as well. But on top of that, they feel like they're part of the journey when you share that type of authentic, you know, here's what's going on with your money in this project. So bring people along for the journey. And again, if you dig that well before you're thirsty, when you do have an opportunity, those people that have responded favorably to past things, it's a much easier transition because they're already engaged in your world to some extent.
Absolutely. And that's something, taking your advice to heart. Even I started a year and a half ago, like I never put out a regular newsletter, right? But So for a year now, we've sent out every single Friday, 10 a.m., my newsletter goes out. And, You know, Marson, I haven't closed a deal since September of 2021. But we're constantly talking, but now we've got three deals under contract, right? And it's just like, Hang on, like it's coming. Here's the things we're working on. And at times it feels like, gosh, what do I talk about? I mean, really aren't doing a deal right, other than the deals we have, you know, in operation. Like we're not doing something actively, but yet keeping that lead warm, because it's like, hey, here's all the stuff we're actually still doing out here, even though we're not presenting deals because there's nothing that made sense for us. But then all of a sudden, you know, out of the blue, now we got three deals all at once. And so, You know, having that prep ahead of time, I think, is just really absolutely key. Talk to us a little bit about maybe your mindset. You seem to indicate, or at least I hear, that there's a mindset. Is that a true statement?
It is. You know, it's interesting because to me, when I started in this business, I knew that it was going to work. I wasn't sure how. I just, in my mind, I was already wired that this is happening. This is going to work. And that's probably due to the fact that, I mean, quick story about me. I was born in communist Poland, and my dad got arrested for selling corn on the black market. Corn with a C, for those of you who thought it was.
I heard B as in Papa. I'm like, okay. No, you said corn. C as in Charlie, corn.
C as in Charlie. In Polish, it's called kukurydza. So the point is, my dad was selling this stuff, and during communist times, you couldn't run a business. So he got arrested. They were going to send him to jail. He didn't like that too much. So he and my mom, and I was a couple months old at the time, they ran off to East Germany and eventually migrated to North America. Wow. Well, when I finally got out of Poland, it was because my grandpa snuck me out 4 years later. So I didn't see my parents for 4 years. They snuck me out, literally drove me across the border, you know, quote unquote, legally in the trunk. And we came to North America, settled down. But my point is, when we got here, there was no plan B. There was no safety net. There was no relatives. There was no family. There was no friends. So the language was foreign. I mean, I spoke Polish and German and now learn English, right? So I always grew up with no plan B. And that forced me to whatever I'm doing, this is going to work. And so mindset is so important for people, because if you don't put yourself in a position where you can speak with some authority on what you're doing, if you don't buy into and you don't believe what you're doing, you know, it's a really difficult thing to sell, especially for fundraising. If you think about it, you're not giving some, like when somebody invests with you, they're not getting a house, they're not getting a car, they're not getting anything tangible. They're that says that they own a piece in this apartment building or warehouse or trailer park or whatever it is. And that's it. So it's so important to make sure that you have the mindset that you feel like you're worthy, you're capable, you're competent. And that element of self-doubt has to, over a period of time, leave the mind. Because I can tell you right now, when I raised that first $5,000, I was more terrified when I was downtown New York getting a term sheet for $25 or $50 million. Like, but the process is the same. So what changed? Obviously, my knowledge, my competence created confidence, which is something I say all the time, but it's the mindset to know that you're worthy of that. And it, consistency is what's going to give you that. If you think that, you know, if you have feelings like, why are people going to invest with me? I can't find any deals. Do I really know what I'm doing? What if I screw up? Like, if you go into conversations with those thoughts, then you're already shooting yourself in the foot. And that mindset piece is, as a starting point, it is everything. It really is.
That's an incredible story, first of all. And I love the comment there. You said there's no plan B. It's the burning of the ships. I think it was that Cortez who burned his ships. And it's like, well, guys, no option. Yeah. This is what you have to do. What do you say to someone that, you know, is struggling with those things, or, you know, maybe, you know, hasn't done enough deals to really be able to say, hey, you know what, this is how I can confidently, you know, lead on this. What do you do for those people, or how do they develop that?
So Sam, look, we're all struggling with things. We're all in different scenarios where sometimes we feel like we're not equipped or prepared. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was on the phone with a fund manager out in New York right when COVID hit. And he's talking to me. I'm walking him through where we're at, where we're going. And I'm looking for equity, right? Larger checks. He says to me, he goes, well, what's your asset size? And I tell him, he goes, oh, okay. So look, you're a little small for me. I go, really? Like, how much? He goes, well, our smallest client is 1 billion. And I just laughed. I go, okay. So I actually said to him, I go, so what you're telling me is I'm trying to go from the kids table to the grown-up table and you won't let me yet. And he just starts laughing, right? But the point is, look, whether you're at 100,000, 1 million, 10 million, 100 million, there's always someone that's going to make you feel like you're at the kids table. And my advice is get that person or those people just a little bit ahead of you, or maybe a little bit more ahead of you. When you get to know these people, you'll see that they're just like you and me. We're the same. And when you can see that it's attainable, you get past those self-doubting components. Because yeah, if you see guys on Instagram or YouTube and buddies buying Lamborghinis, private jets, whatever it is, and he's $1 billion, whatever it is, and you're like, dude, I'm just trying to buy, you know, a 10-plex so that I can put my daughter through college, that there's a disconnect there. It's such a huge disconnect that that's not your man. I mean, those are great people for like inspiration, but that's not the next step for you. The next step for you is the guy or girl that's already at 40, 50 units and trying to get to 100 or something along those lines. So find people that are just ahead of you or maybe slightly ahead of you to actually have some real connection to be able to engage and grow. Because otherwise, you know, there's nothing more, you know, okay, I want to play in the NFL. Great. I'm going to go play with Brady. Yeah, right. Come on. Right. Like the guy's doing, you know, so I have people call me sometimes and they want to play. And I go, look, you know, it sounds like you want to do algebra, but I need you to learn how to count first. Like you got to work your way up. Right. So the best action item is to find people like, yeah, find your inspiration, the guy that's out there killing it at a level that you're just like, that's godly. That's godlike. Sure. But then bring that back to earth and find that next peg on the ladder, that somebody that can help you, you know, actually more directly, I think.
I love it. Marcin, thanks for taking the time to come on today. Certainly learned a lot. I've loved hearing your story, all the things that you've been involved in, you know, ideas on how to develop a system for raising capital, just, you know, coming from the institutional side, then just going out and doing it. The idea that we don't need a plan B, we just need a really good plan A and to go execute. So I've certainly, yeah, I've enjoyed having you come on today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Best way to do that is my website, marcindroz.com. And then for those of your listeners who want to pick up the easy system or at least get introduced to it, because there's a lot more to it than we talked about, I've got a free download there. There's a mini course there on the website. It's free to anybody. So they can go on my website, marcindroz.com. Hopefully you can spell that in the show notes for them. And they can download the easy system. It's 15, 20 minutes set of video tutorials that'll walk them through the specifics of that.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, look for marcindroz.com. We will put the spelling exactly of that in the show notes. Marcin, thank you again for your time. Certainly enjoyed it.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.